Robot vacuum cleaners, self-guided lawnmowers. Wasn't that long ago they seemed like the stuff of science fiction. Now nobody bats an eye at a robot scooting around sucking up dust on the living room floor. So how long will it be before we're getting around in cars that do not need drivers? Well, according to Google, just a few years. The company has developed a prototype, which is apparently now ready for its biggest test, the demands of the city. Stateside's partner, the BBC's Justin Webb, went for a test drive at Google HQ.
We're in California, the sun's shining, we're at Google, and that hum you can hear in the background is a self-driving car. It's a slightly strange-looking thing with a sort of whirling radar-like device on the top, but otherwise it's a perfectly ordinary looking, rather nice looking white car. It's got Google on the side of it. It says it's self-driving, and we're going to see whether that's true. Right, we're all in and we're all ready to go. Let's do some introductions. Our driver first.
Chris Hermson.
And I'm Justin Ono. I'm one of the members of our safety driving team.
I can see already you've got a laptop open on your... What are you doing with that?
I'm monitoring all the car software, making sure that everything's working properly.
And at the moment, then, whenever one of these cars goes out, there is always someone doing your job as well, just monitoring what's happening.
That's correct.
And just to set the scene for people, we're driving on a typical suburban Californian road, so it's nice and straight and easy at the moment, isn't it?
It's a nice little bit of roadway to drive on. And yeah. The car's now told us it's ready to go, okay. So I'm going to press the on button here.
Okay.
And now the car's driving itself.
Whoa, we're off.
Here we go.
Are you doing anything at all?
I'm not doing anything. My hands are away from the steering wheel. I'm not touching the brake or the gas pedal. It's the car's, 10 times a second looking at what's happening around us and then reacting to that and driving safely.
And we've just slightly slowed there because a bus turned across about, 50 yards ahead of us, and it just paused, saw the bus. We're going past a cyclist now.
And
we're just
feel
easing,
that
yes. I felt us ease out into the road, and we're doing now, about 40 miles an hour.
35. Speed limit.
Ooh. Now we're coming up to a red light.
And the car's coming to a nice slow stop.
Ooh, it is. There's no juddering there. That is a better stop than most human drivers I know manage. It's slightly strange to see the steering wheel turning on its own, which it is now as we go around a bend.
What we've really kind of focused on a lot over the last year has been interpreting the world in more depth. So when it's trying to determine whether something's a car or a pedestrian or a tree, it'll look at the shape of the object, it'll look at the size of it, it'll look at how fast they're moving and where they're moving, just like you would. And it's kind of combining all that information together.
Oh, now that really confused it. There were three pedestrians there, weren't there, walking past... A crosswalk.
Turn off auto drive now.
It wants you to take over again. What upset it there?
It just saw the pedestrians coming at us, and we thought that pedestrian might cross in front of us because he was walking on the opposite side of traffic.
Very interesting that situation, because actually, what it did there was almost certainly the safest thing, was it?
but it's
something that I wouldn't have done as a driver. So it may well have rescued the lives of one of those three unsuspecting pedestrians we've just passed. If they had come out, we wouldn't have hit them. If they'd come out and I'd been driving, I think I might have done.
And that tells you a little bit about the philosophy of how we develop the software, right? We build it to be kind of inherently safe, and then we layer on levels of reasoning that allow it to say, okay, well, really the likelihood of that guy stepping into the road is low enough that maybe we should drive past in that case, or at least slow less aggressively.
Okay, we're out of the car. You can probably hear the fountains behind us, which means we're in front of Google's headquarters. Can I just address a couple of wider issues with you, Chris? We could have injured someone or killed someone on that trip. It wouldn't necessarily have been our fault. They could have rushed out in front of us. It will happen. Someone will die as a result of a driverless car. Are you confident that what happens next legally is sorted out or can be sorted out?
Oh, absolutely. I think, America, we have a very robust legal system. And, they've got
a lot of lawyers, yeah.
Absolutely. And a lot of smart people, and they'll be able to look at it. This is their job, right, is figuring out what happened and why and, who, if anyone's at fault. And so we'll get through that part.
The fear will be that the public mood will suddenly change, and instead of people waving at the car and wanting to be photographed with it and all the rest of it, suddenly there'll be a kind of hostility because someone has been killed by a machine, and that changes everything.
I don't think it does, though. People are killed by machines today, right? We have cars on the road, and 33,000 people in America are killed every year. Worldwide, 1.2 million people. And what this technology is doing is making that number smaller because we're eliminating the largest factor, which is human error.
What about the Google side of this? Is your intention eventually that your cars link in with your knowledge of every other aspect of our lives, how we shop, what we look for online, and all the rest of it?
No, this is really about making people safer on the road and allowing them to get from one place to another. We use the data that the car has today to make it safer. This is how we kind of train the algorithm. So each of our vehicles has got about 40 years of driving experience, right? And that comes from them being able to go back and look at how what mistakes they made, what good decisions they made in the past, and make sure they're still making the good ones and not making the mistakes. When it comes to, you know, thinking about what's right for our customers, that's like making the cars safe, and that's what we'll keep doing.
But you are going to know where we go.
Yes.
That's Stateside's partner, the BBC's Justin Webb.